Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah.
No. Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your App Store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Brian O'Driscoll on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.
Yeah, it's Richie McCormack here with you, and I'm delighted to say that former Ireland captain Brian O'Driscoll does join us on the line. It is an evening when the Ireland team has been named for the final Six Nations encounter of the season against England this coming Saturday. Changes aplenty and one very major outgoing to talk about. Very good evening to you, Brian.
Good evening, Richie. How are you?
And not too bad, not too bad. We have six changes in all from the side that edged past Scotland last weekend. Some of them, I guess we expected. We knew Gary Ringrose and James Ryan weren't going to be involved because of injury this time round. Some other changes have come as a little bit of a surprise. First of all, in terms of the numbers involved, were you expecting a full-on six changes from Andy Farrell this week, or is this a little bit bigger than we expected?
I would say I probably wasn't expecting all of them, but I'm not surprised at any of them, to be honest with you. If you go through the run of them from starting at one, I think there's not a huge amount between Kilcoyne and Kian Healy at the moment. I think you have to remember that Kian Healy has three starts and one bench under his belt already. You know, he's got a lot of miles in the clock, so no harm in freshening things up. And I think Kilcoyne has looked really good in his kind of explosive 20 or 30 minutes. And I think he'll really push Healy close in the next over the next year for that starting berth. And then the positional change of Byrne, it's a real shame that we've had to take him out of the sixth position, you know, back-to-back man of the match performances. He has added an awful lot to his game at in the number six jersey. I think for the first time we've seen him playing out in the trams with Ireland's shape, you know, getting one flanker out on the kind of on the 5 meter line or certainly between the 50 and the 5 meter. He showed some good hands, showed some good turn of pace on top of his high tackle count on, you know, seven turnovers he's got. So he is playing the rugby of his life at the moment. Pity he's had to move into a second row where he's going to have a slightly different role. Hitting an awful lot more rucks, carrying the ball probably a little bit less, and less of an opportunity to make a nuisance of himself, although you can be sure he'll still deliver in some shape or form. Conan to eight, I think, was the big surprise for me. You know, what it provides is that extra ball carrying ability in the back row. And the reality is, against England over the last number of years, we've been beaten up by them and lost the physical encounter. And the more ball carriers, the more physical specimens that you can get in your team that can get you an advantage line or can be collision winners, the more chance you have of laying a platform for your halfbacks to dictate play and for them to be able to get you into your shape. So as much as I was surprised to see Conan in the eight jersey, I think it's probably a clever selection with the knowledge as well. It's CJ Sanders news this week. Caelan Dorris on the sidelines. It's an opportunity and a development piece as well as something with an eye on this game, but one for the future too, coming down the line with the World Cup in a couple of years. I do feel as though he has the capacity. Sometimes I wish he had a bit more anger to him, that he has all the physical attributes to be a great international player, but you kind of feel as though he's just lacking that really nasty edge that, you know, we've seen in Peter O'Mahony, that we've seen in Sean O'Brien, we see in Billy Vunipola, we see in Curry. It's just, I don't know if he really wants to hurt people and if he hates people when he carries into them or he hits them. I think you want to see that in the personality of your number eight, of really, you know, imposing themselves on the opposition and almost frightening them. And I suppose he's not quite delivered that, but he's a different sort of player and he definitely gives you go forward, certainly does for Leinster, and now great opportunity for Ireland.
Does,
as you mentioned, with Will Connors, Van der Fleer coming in for him, obvious selection.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, in terms of Jack Conan, like you mentioned there, John Giles would often refer to it as would he kill his granny. Does what he offer on the ball I guess, counterbalance what he does lack in terms of that, I want to call it something else, but viciousness in the back row.
They don't have to. You know, it doesn't have to be mutually exclusive. You can. You know, there are. You look at the really great ball carrying number eights around the world, the likes of Billy Vunipola, who has an edge. Dwayne Vermeulen. You think about someone like him. But then at the same time, you've got a different sort of number eight in Kieran Reid, who doesn't look as though he'd kill his granny, but yet he has all the skill set to be able to. To deliver and the finesse to match the power up front, but yet, you know, link play with backs as well. But it doesn't feel as though he'd stand on you if you got an instant or got an invitation. With Conan, I don't know. It's just there's been something niggling at me for the last 4 or 5 years that I thought he was going to be this superb international player that just brought this hardened edge, and it just never quite transpired. But his form for Leinster when he has been playing for them has been very good, and he gives that other aspect. But he's not someone that's going to do a Sean O'Brien, who's going to kind of, you know, really step up to the opposition and scare them and feel as though, you know, you've got a fight in your hands. He'll bring the physical aspect, he just won't bring the narkiness.
When you've had spells out injured as much as Jack Conan has had, is that the kind of thing that tempers your attitude on the pitch?
I think that's part of your makeup, you know. I don't think that it's something that kind of comes and goes. I think it's either in you or not, and you're not, or it's not. And I think if you look at Peter O'Mahony and the way he spoke during the week, he does play on the edge, and he always has, and he wants to be a physical player. And if you take that away from him, he's not Peter O'Mahony. He's not that sort of player. You have to accept what comes with the individual. But I do feel as though he'd have more international caps if he was willing to throw around a bit more. And even sometimes that's a training as well. I remember, you know, early years of training with Trevor Brennan when he wasn't in the team. He'd go around firing shots at anyone and everyone. It would be, you know, half contact, but it wasn't half contact to Trev. And I remember him saying one time, it's all well and good for you. You're in the team. I'm not. So you're gonna have to take this if I'm going to be sitting on the bench or you know, holding shields. And I guess, you know, that to a coach is inspiring to see the appetite and the willingness to really, you know, to reach you know, into the depths of your talent and your ability to play, to go, this is what it takes to get in the team. I'm going to throw it about and I'm going to teach these boys. I'm not going to make it easy for them.
Yeah. In terms of forward play, I mean, I guess it's not entirely something that has been troublesome from Ireland, even with the chopping and changing of personnel over the course of the first four games. So much so that Eddie Jones, in his pre-match press conference today, highlighted Ireland's forward play and says it's something we've gotten really, really good at. And obviously the influence of Paul O'Connell is key and all that. But with an Eddie Jones compliment, I always kind of worry that there's something else behind it. You almost sense that he's clearly seen something in there that he thinks they can find their way around. And given the recent history and the recent four games between the sides, there is enough to suggest that he knows that there is enough in that England pack particularly that can completely negate what Ireland have to offer.
And I guess it would be hard to argue with his belief in that regard. If you do look at you know, the way they played and watching the game, I thought they played very well. You know, watching the game live last week, I thought they played even better having watched it again. It's the way that they can mix their game up. They've got lots of ball carriers in their pack, but they've also got lots of ball players. And if you're looking at their two props as some of their most effective ball players, you know, the rest of the team can just go about their business. But then they've got Dave Ewles in the second row, who also carries the ball brilliantly to the line and is able to play make. You've got Tom Curry, Vunipola in the back row. So, you know, they do have, when they are humming, England are a real force to be reckoned with. And it's, you know, we've had difficulty in stopping the juggernaut in the past. And why are they going to break from that type? They know that if they can physically get the better of us, they have enough firepower in their backs to be able to score tries. They don't have to go through as many phases to create opportunities for themselves. Their X factor seems more impressive than ours currently. You think about what Johnny May is capable of doing, what Watson did last weekend, the explosiveness of them. Even Max Malins got turned over a couple of times, but he looks as though he poses a real threat. And then you've got others, you know, the experience of their halfbacks and Owen Farrell to facilitate that. So I'm not surprised that Eddie Jones will be confident coming over here. They've had our number for the last few years. But, you know, there's nothing at stake other than, you know, a higher placing in this year's table, which does mean financial success. And I'm sure, you know, the union would have reminded both Eddie and Andy Farrell that the higher placing, particularly, you know, considering the circumstances, will really benefit them. So this is a big, big game for both teams. And I think it'll be a brilliant test match. Because Ireland having England on the back of the last few results at home, they're really going to up their game, and I think they're going to throw down the gauntlet to them.
Yeah, one of the changes that Jones has had to make going into this game, obviously, is the loss of Henry Slade, who I know you, in one of your tutorials online, pointed out his brilliance in defence. I guess last week you kind of counterbalanced that with what we were looking at and what we were talking about in terms of James Lowe, who drops out of the match day 23 entirely. They brought in Elliot Daly in the centre at the expense, obviously, of the injured Henry Slade. How does that change things from an England perspective?
I think Slade's a really important player for them now. You know, his left foot is very important, very educated left boot. He big, big guy, you know, he's probably 6'3", you know, physically throws his weight around, reads things extremely well, but he also has a real deft touch for a big man. You know, lovely handling, has that an array of a kicking game. Besides just the rocket launcher, he has little touches, little grubber kicks, which invite the likes of Johnny May to charge onto. So he really had a big impact against us a couple of years ago when they turned us over in the first game of the Six Nations. He was near man of the match performance, getting a late try. So I think he is a loss, but his replacement in Daly coming in at 13, his favourite position. You know, someone that always saw himself as an outside centre that became a winger and subsequently a fullback. So you've got a wealth of experience. You've got 50 plus capper coming in. It's a long time. I think it's 5 years since he's played in the centre for England. But he's a confident player. He's super quick. He likes to read through in defence sometimes. He reads it quite well. But yet he's fallen off some tackles in this year's Six Nations. So I'm sure Bundy and Robbie will test him physically, first of all. But then also the responsibility is to make sure that the wingers get active, the blind wingers get active, to stress him. 13 is a difficult position if you haven't played it for a long time, to read the short runners, but also have respect for the outside, you know, the runners out the back, the wingers striking from their blind wing. So Ireland have to take advantage of the fact that he's going to be relatively inexperienced and won't have had a huge amount of time to train in the 13 jersey even this week.
Mm. You mentioned Bundy Aki there. He's somebody who's kept really, really sharp in terms of lining out for Connacht during the duration of the Six Nations when he hasn't been involved for Ireland. And Jacob Stockdale, in a different aspect, has worked himself back to full fitness and now back into the starting 15 for Saturday. Stockdale looks like he's getting back to the player who, you know, I guess impressed us a couple of years ago with his debut season in the Six Nations. He's even dropped a little bit of weight since he's come back as well. He looks to be somebody who will really, really relish this test on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, he was unfortunate, obviously, with injury that he wasn't, you know, included in the squad earlier on in the campaign. Jacob Stockdale, you know, he's got his detractors, but, you know, particularly from a defensive point of view, but he offers something very unique in his go forward, his ability to beat players one-on-one. And, you know, we talked about the X factor of the English wingers. Well, he's got that in spades. And yes, he has had defensive deficiencies, probably even some not quite as extreme as what we've seen from James Lowe over the last few weeks. So I think he's absolutely deserving of another opportunity in there. It's his best position, playing on the wing and not fullback. I think he will get more tries for Ireland playing on the wing. He's an out-and-out finisher, not trying to be a creator. You take some of the expectation from, you know, his game management at fullback, take that away from him and just tell him to go and beat players one-on-one, keep it really simple and just follow his centre into the defensive system, whatever he's doing. You know, follow suit. So I think it's a game of basics for Jacob Stockdale, but you know that he has that card in his pocket that he can pull it out and do something amazing, which is often the difference between teams like England. You looked at his try against the All Blacks was the difference in Dublin a couple of years ago. The try he scored against England in Twickenham and that Grand Slam season, all the different tries he scored, you know, the intercepts amongst other things. He's a pure out and out striker in rugby, and you just need to get his confidence levels back up. And I'm not surprised that he leapfrogged over Larmer to add a little bit of size to our back three as well. If you're thinking Larmer, Earls and Keenan, that's not a huge back three. So to throw a bit of size in there as well, very capable in the air, but also, you know, confident going forward with an ability to back his own ability. I think you've got a very exciting player in Jacob Stockdale. We just want to get him back to the form that he showed in his debut season. And if we can get him there, I think he will cause major problems for the English defence this weekend.
On the James Lowe front, he obviously isn't in the match day 23 for Saturday. Felipe Contepomi had a really interesting point earlier on in the week. He was talking from a Leinster perspective that, you know, in time, given time, James Lowe will improve on the international stage. And this is a very, and even Keith Wood mentioned it on here earlier on in the week, it's a very, very tough way to learn your trade, is playing international rugby and trying to get up to the speed, because it is different to the, you know, even the latter stages of European rugby with Leinster. There is a step up here, and mistakes will be pounced upon more keenly than they would be, I guess, in the club game. But how pronounced is that difference in your experience, and even watching players since you've retired? How pronounced is that step up from provincial, I guess, you know, really good displays on the provincial level, to making the step up to international rugby? And is the low experience so far, as, you know, does it diverge as much as we probably anticipated?
I think it's a really significant step up from even European rugby, even the biggest of European games. Even if you look at the likes of the quarterfinals, semifinals, finals of Europe, I think they're kind of easy test matches, so to speak. I do feel as though, you know, he obviously showed really well in his debut. Was it against Wales back in November? I was really surprised to read during the week that he has most meters in this year's Six Nations, which is amazing, because it doesn't feel as though he's done a huge amount, but he shows how much of a handful he still is to defences. I think from his own defensive perspective, whatever about the reads that he's struggled with, and there's been a few, he got cut out a couple of times against Wales. He obviously got cut out in the Doolan or the Pinot try against France, and then obviously the Hugh Jones one. It's probably just one defensive mishap too many. And it as much as the defensive reads have been poor, I don't know if he's a great tackler. And I heard Ron O'Gara talking about he doesn't have as much of an appetite for the defensive side of the game as the attacking side. My concerns would be, you know, a guy that big and that physical, how is he not ending people? Because I know that he's got an aggressiveness when he carries the ball into contact. It just doesn't seem to reciprocate when it comes to the defensive side of things. He's an arm grabber. He's not a shoulder hitter. I've never seen him absolutely belt someone and smash them, you know, into next week. Everything seems to be a little bit army, quite high. And when you're reaching with arms, you tend to go high. You tend not to reach low and get someone around the waist. And that's where you get pushed off. And that's what happened with Hugh Jones. As soon as you start reaching with your arms, you're in a bad body position. So any shove off from him, he's going to be able to get the impetus from you to catapult yourself forward. And yeah, I thought the writing was on the wall, unfortunately, from James Oates. He'll come back and he'll learn and he'll you know, take on board what messages have been handed down to him from Andy Farrell, but it's a pretty brutal business at Test Match Rugby. You make a mistake or a couple of mistakes and someone's waiting in the wings for, you know, to come in and replace you.
Is 28 too old to lose those habits though?
No, I think anything can be learned. I think, you know, you look at the way certain players evolved under Joe Schmidt. You know, I when I was playing with Devon Toner, I never saw him as being a ball player, you know, playing off 10, but then he became a very capable ball player. I think you look at someone like Trevor Brennan, who, you know, he won't mind me saying his hands were certainly not the strongest part of his game when he was at Leinster, but then went over to Toulouse and became a great ball player. It mightn't have looked incredibly natural, but it was just a drilled process that you're doing it every day at training, you can get better at it. And he was doing things that I never had imagined Trevor doing. So you are capable of learning these new skills, but you have to have a willingness to almost bring yourself back to zero and learn from scratch. A bit like a scrum half that has that's three or four seasons under their belt that has a dodgy pass. Sometimes you have to deconstruct to reconstruct and think about the technical side of it and build and then practice on building the correct skills. There's no point in practicing things if it's wrong or if it's incorrect. You've got to practice the right stuff. And James Lowe has a lot to deliver for Ireland over the next few years, but he's going to have to go away and work on that part of his game because there's no doubt there's shortcomings in it.
Yeah. Speaking of delivering, somebody who has done over the course of the last 5 years is CJ Stander. He pretty much shocked everybody earlier on in the week when he announced that not only was he going to be stepping away from international rugby, but he's packing his bags and going back to South Africa and leaving Munster as well. I'd imagine you're as caught off guard by this as everybody else.
Yeah, it sure was. I don't know CJ. I've obviously never played. I never played with him. He came after my time. But he's clearly a very popular guy. Amazing what he's managed to achieve in the short space of time. Nearly 150 games for Munster. 50 test matches for Ireland in 5 or 6 years is incredible. I know he's 30 or 31 years of age, but imagine what his body must feel like the way he plays the game. He does not do injured. He just doesn't. But yet the toll that trying to make all the holes he's tried to make over the years, he doesn't use footwork. He doesn't sidestep. His hole is going through people. And there's some enormous collisions he's been on the receiving end of. And I would anticipate that all of those add up to a body feeling a lot older than 30 or 31 years of age. On top of that, you're dealing with a wife and young child that are, they've been back in South Africa, during the pandemic, missing home. It exacerbates an already difficult situation. So, could he have gone on to bigger money in Montpellier? There was talk of him going there or go back and play in South Africa where he'd make a fraction of what he's earning here or in France. But maybe he feels as though he's just achieved enough that he's happy to leave on a good footing, with leaving a little in the tank. And there's honour in that. And, sometimes there's bigger things than rugby in people's life. As much as it's hard to take, sometimes he's made his decision and he looks as though he's at peace with it.
Yeah, he says he's absolutely at peace with it. And even those around him listen to Peter O'Mahony's quotes, who are quite touching. Peter O'Mahony's not somebody who you'd expect to be brought to the verge of tears. Almost seemed like he was a pretty emotional figure speaking earlier on in the week. When a player is going out like that, like you've been that player essentially, where the others are trying to raise their game for your final match, how much of an impact is that imminent retirement going to have on Ireland's performance, do you reckon, on Saturday?
Yeah, of course it'll make you want to send someone off with a victory. But I think it does become no different than when I was playing. We were playing for a trophy. It wasn't talk about trying to do justice. It was about trying to win a trophy. And this, as much as you can channel your energy, your physical and mental and emotional energy into trying to do something for CJ, this is about trying to beat one of the best teams in the world. And anytime you play against England, I think gone are the days where we've used the 600 years of pain of the public's delight at beating England. I think that ship has sailed. For me now, from a player's perspective, it's about beating one of the best teams. There's huge respect for England. There's actually quite a lot of friendship, coming from Lions tours, from previous Lions tours. They got on great with the English players. And there isn't a feeling that there's this huge cockiness and arrogance within that English setup. I think that's a kind of public perception. Whereas from a player's point of view, I think they look forward to delivering a big performance, because if you beat England, it means A, you've played really well and you've delivered a really impressive game plan, because you don't beat England playing sloppily or playing okay. You've had to play great. And I think that's the kicker you get from beating England. It's the feel-good factor about beating one of the best nations in the world.
Yeah. Johnny Murphy was on OTB's Six Nations show earlier today with James Downey and our own Neil Tracy. You can watch the whole thing back now on the OTB Sports app. And Johnny thinks that Ireland aren't far away from hitting their straps in an attacking sense.
I also think there's a lot of flack being thrown at them at the moment, in terms of that they're not looking to attack as much as we would like. They are. They're just being inaccurate at times. You look at, you know, and there's been all those memes this week about Tadhg Furlong's two steps. If he passes that ball to Johnny Sexton, there's actually a high likelihood that we could score a try from our own 22, where it goes to CJ Stander and then the ball doesn't go to hand off that pass. So, like, they're very, very close in terms of their transition game and their attack to, you look at Robbie Henshaw, anytime he carries, he's automatically looking to get his hands free post-tackle. They are looking at those things, but it's going to take a while. But I certainly do think that their willingness and want to counter and to play off transition is there. And if you just look at that clip in isolation of Furlong, you know, two steps, that goes to Johnny, then there's probably a likelihood of a massive line break there, if not a score.
Brian, would you agree with Johnny there? Are we that far away or not that far away?
Well, I think in that instance, you know, I'm doing a piece for ITV this weekend on our lack in ability to transition from turnover, from defense to attack. And I think there's a bit of mindset, but I think there's a big piece about just inaccuracy and almost that we panic, which we shouldn't do, because, you know, reading Gerry Thorney during the week, you know, we've 29, double the amount of turnovers that the other teams have, the next team. But yet it feels as though every time we get one, we're not anticipating it. You know, I could have picked out a number of different examples where, you know, we create a turnover ball, and I'm not just talking about, you know, line out or, you know, sometimes you turn ball over and you get a penalty from it, but genuine turnovers where you could play with it. And it feels as though you could just adopt the simple policies, the unwritten rules of what you do on turnover ball. Two passes where possible. It's not always applicable to every situation, because sometimes you get it in close quarters and you have to create a quick ruck ball, but then get two passes. You can always kick it another phase or two phases later, or you can kick it out at the extremities and stress the defense that way. But our willingness to kick the ball so quickly after turnover doesn't make any sense. You give that to any other team, you know, on a knock-on advantage, play a phase, play a couple of phases. If nothing comes of it, the ref will bring you back. It's unlikely they're going to blow it up too quickly. But I know Johnny Sexton in the post-match press conference was frustrated. I'm frustrated watching at that, because it's a part of our game that we've never been very good at. But it's something that you could absolutely practice and get considerably better. And if we could get one or two scores or one or two line breaks from that turnover possession, I think it would put a different complexion on our attacking game, because it would, you know, take the pressure off from the public perception that we're just chasing kicks all day. It would allow us to feel as though we have an attacking mindset, whereas a lot of the time it feels like we're playing quite a defensive, quite a safe game. Let's play with a bit of freedom, particularly on turnover ball, where it's penalty advantage, it's free, off you go. If it works for you, brilliantly. If it doesn't, you'll come back and you'll get the scrum or you'll get a second crack at it. And he's right. Johnny was right about that instance with CJ just needed to pass the ball to Johnny, because Maitland's in big trouble. If he just passes, Johnny straightens and then he's a couple of guys outside him. And worst case scenario, you're dealing with a 50, 60 meter line break, whereas James Lowe has to regather and boot the ball down the pitch and concede possession.
Has improved the prospect of Scotland are in creating and engineering those opportunities against Scotland and against England are two very different propositions, though.
They are, but, you know, not to take credit away from Tadhg Furlong. That came from a knock-on from Rory Sutherland, a quick recycle, you know, a great tip-on from Tadhg Byrne. So he's playing heads up and then great footwork. That's very easy, could happen against England. And you mightn't get the same level of success at the ruck, because England will be very knowledgeable in the fact that Ireland have significantly the most turnovers in the game, and so their ruck focus will be huge this week. But there's no doubt we'll still get three or four turnovers. It's what you do with that turnover possession. And I'm not saying you don't kick it, because we did get some success from kicking it with good chase and good accuracy, but we want to try as well. We want to play. And I think you might beat teams in, you know, some teams in the Six Nations, you might beat three out of five teams playing the way we're playing, but I think you've got to have an ability to show a little bit more if we're ultimately trying to build ourselves towards getting into a World Cup semi-final. At the moment, the way we're playing, I don't feel as though we're playing a style that's going to get us into a World Cup semi-final. We need another phase of evolution. And that comes with our turnover play and our willingness also to play off scrum a little bit more. I think we're trying to set things up way too much. Let's have a go. You know, we can always kick from the extremities. Our fullbacks and our wingers can kick, draw the fullback up, kick over, put pressure. That's how you squeeze pressure and territory as well. But let's have a go as well. Whatever happened to having an attack off first phase, off scrum play deep in your own territory, the best ball to work off. So I think we can show a little bit more ambition. I said it a few weeks ago, and I don't think that's changed any. Ambition from turnover, ambition from scrum. And I think that'll go a long way towards people, you know, getting off the Irish team's back of playing a little bit negatively.
Our rugby on Off the Ball is with thanks to Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team, Team of Us, everyone in. Brian, what's a realistic expectation for Ireland this Saturday?
I just want them to play well. I genuinely don't care about the result. I just want them to play well. And you're playing, if England come and play their best game, are they favourites? I think they are, because I do think they've got more firepower than us at the moment. The way they played last week, and even in parts against Wales, I do think that they will create lots of opportunities for themselves, and we really have to work for our opportunities. So what do Ireland need? A huge defensive display, brilliant discipline, and then take the one or two opportunities that they manage to create for themselves. And even then, it's going to be a close game. I think it'll be a great test match, and I do think it'll be close. But I do think that England are just marginal favourites because of what they showed in the last 8 days.
Okay. Brian O'Driscoll, thanks so much for taking time out this evening to speak to us. Enjoy the match. Enjoy the weekend.
Cheers, Richie.
Good luck.
Brian O'Driscoll on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of Us. Everyone in.
The OTB Podcast Network.